Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
9 a.m. on Saturday morning is his piano lesson.
That's so rough because I remember at his age, Saturday morning was cartoons. And you're putting him to work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we were.
Well, I mean,
you know,
you had like sports games usually early morning. Like,
I didn't. It'd be fun if I saw you two walking one of my daughters if I wasn't around. Here, I consider that a formal request. That would be wonderful.
Oscar should probably do it because I probably won't be walking. I used to wear them.
I have 8 pairs of them.
That's 16
And then
I got
rid of them. I was there because I was freaked out by the idea of wearing them. And now, you know, down here, the dress code's so different down here where, you know, we walk around in shorts constantly.
Well, shorts and cowboy boots is a good look.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Happy Monday, everybody. From Keystone, South Dakota, Green River, Utah, Faraday, Louisiana, Carlsbad, California, Highland, Illinois, and Interlaken, Switzerland. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now for you on a beautiful Monday. We are delighted to be with you. How is everybody's weekend? Everybody have a good weekend?
It was nice, yes.
My weekend was filled with ups and downs, but we'll get to all of that because it's a very long show. But the most fascinating thing was my son had a request all weekend long. Now, Saturday for him is a bit of a thing because he has piano lessons and he doesn't like it. He is making progress. I don't think he's ever going to be a virtuoso, but it's good for his brain.
Does he do them like first thing in the morning?
9 a.m. on Saturday morning is his piano lesson.
That's so rough because I remember at his age, Saturday morning was cartoons. And you're putting him to work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we were.
Well, I mean,
you know,
you had like sports games usually early morning. Like,
I didn't. Saturday morning for Rob was cartoons, followed by television, then a little light lunch and television for the rest of the day until bed.
Cereal tend to bleed. It sometimes cereal and lunch overlap. It happened. Frankenberries and
until
PB&J.
You were working age, and then you got out of the house to help with the family farm.
Yes. Of course. Well, yeah, but you know what? Not in the winter, because you know by the time that the fall season hit, it was cartoons.
That's why you liked winter, because you didn't have to do anything.
That's right. Just lazed around like a sloth.
Some things never change.
Until the Christmas time, and then there was
the
Christmas tree stand.
How long was that period? Was that a month, month and a half?
Well, we would take delivery the Friday after Thanksgiving. That was the big deal. That's when the truck would come down.
Mm-hmm. So it would be roughly a month of intense sales.
Yeah.
And so I've asked
intense
you this
sales
a thousand
really only
times.
For the last 2 weeks. Sales really kind of starts on December 10th. So really up to that, you're setting up and you're paying people to watch the merchandise. That's it.
Yeah. As far as is there a time, and I know you probably with your brain, you might remember this.
Yeah.
A time where the cost, the wholesale to retail differential made for a real family windfall for your Christmas trees.
There was.
Where you went up and got your trees for a song and sold them to the rich suburban folk.
Well, Mike, it was the rich suburban folk that we targeted. In fact, several politicians, senators, representatives always came to our stand because we were right there in McLean. And so we had a really good clientele. But we were always a percentage game where.
You had a senator come to your, stand?
I think Warner might have bought a tree from us once, if I'm not mistaken.
John Warner.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Nice.
But, the late John Warner.
What would happen is the wholesale would be set by the farm. And we dealt with Howard Neal Forest and Musser Forest, both in Indiana, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And we would base our price on them. So really, it was always contingent on how many we sold. If we sold 75%.
I get you.
We would do okay. There was 1 year, it might have been 1988, that we sold out on the 22nd. We sold every branch.
Ooh.
And to a point where we went to there was still a market in K Street downtown. We came here and we bought cedar trees, the worst scrap tree you can imagine. Mm. And we were selling those on Christmas Eve for a profit. That really? Was an amazing year. That was a really great year, yeah.
And did you get bonused for
yeah.
your,
yeah, we
your
all
Christmas
did.
Efforts?
Yeah, we all did. And then you were paid. You were paid. It was a commission deal, too. So you were also
paid by the tree?
Well, no, by how much.
By the tree?
By the tree. By how much you turned in. So you were always, you could be sort of loosey-goosey on the price you quoted. There was definitely a entry.
A negotiation.
You couldn't go less than X number of dollars. But
see, this makes me feel Christmassy to hear Rob's selling
the fleecing
Christmas
of America.
Trees,
you know? No, it wasn't. I was selling joy. Well, is what we were selling.
Do you notice he didn't give me? Do you notice how long he went without giving me an answer to what the markup would be on his trees? He said, "Well, it would be dependent on the cost. Of course, it would be."
I think it was about a 50% markup. But
that
you know what?
Right.
So you'd pay $8 for a tree, and you'd charge $16 for that tree.
Yeah, 1920. Trees were. I remember trees when I did, and this is keep in mind, this is a long time
when
ago.
When you went to Indiana, Pennsylvania to grab your trees,
I think that there was what would happen is we'd get a price sheet at the front of the Christmas season. Big Daddy would prepare it and would say like what they would do is they'd sell the trees in sort of like bulk, so it would be like Scotch pines 5 to 7 feet were this much money. Mm-hmm. A balsom fir from
right.
6 to 8
what,
feet.
What was the markup?
I think it was 50%? I think it was 50. But again, don't quote me on it.
It would make sense, Mike, if it was 50%.
Don't quote me on it because again,
sense.
I was mostly a kid.
I think it's
then.
Higher.
No, they're
because
buying.
This, remember,
they're,
these are furniture.
No, furniture. No, furniture.
These
was
are furniture
higher.
People that know
furniture was
what
higher.
Markup. Is.
But they would get. So they would buy in bulk, so they get the bulk pricing,
mm-hmm.
and so bare minimum is 50%.
Yeah, I think it was 50% markup. That seems to be about.
Would you ever have like a tree that's like, oh, that's a tree, and put an extra value on it?
Well, Mike, the thing about Christmas trees is when they get tall, it was called a specimen, right? And trees grow really fast for the first 4 or 5 feet. But
Jesus,
as
you
they
are
get above.
Such a BSer.
No, Mike, this is true. This is true. When okay. they get to
this
be above.
This specimen's going to go soon, so you should decide right now.
When they get to be above 8 or 9 feet, the growing
this
process.
Is a specimen yes. tree.
It was.
Yeah. Why?
I didn't
because it's beautiful and large? No, it smells like urine.
You must have a 3-story foyer if you can look at this tree.
I don't make up the parlance, okay? But when a tree exceeds like 9 feet, the growth slows. So it gets more expensive per foot.
Well, the
as
growth slows when you chop it down too, I would think.
Well, no,
right?
But Mike, they have to stay in the ground to get taller, yes?
Yes.
So they grow real fast for a while and then it slows down. So when someone like, and we would sell to churches, although Big
you
Daddy,
wouldn't give to churches?
Big
you
Daddy
wouldn't
would,
give to the Lord our Savior?
He would donate to his own church. But any other church that would want a tall tree, they would pay. We make them all pay. And if you have a large cathedral ceiling, we would, you know, we were the ones to come to.
What's the most expensive tree you ever remember selling?
Back in the day, probably like $250 or $300.
Yeah, it was a specimen.
Really? Yeah.
But you didn't... You didn't buy that for $125. No way, Jose.
I can't.
No way you spent $125.
You look at me like I'm going over the books every night. I just showed up in a coat and tried to sell them.
Hoping
I didn't
cut his fingers off.
Yeah. Well, that was that.
Yeah,
too.
I remember that.
Yeah. The scab actually formed in the pocket. Yes. It was nasty. So we'll tell it at Christmas.
Is it
time.
True that you negotiated a really tough bargain with Darren McGavin?
I said,
shut up, pumpkins.
I said, I tell you what.
I must be, you know, it's a gray, rainy day here in Southwest Florida, and I think I might be just that's putting me in kind of a forward thinking holiday state of mind.
Dreaming of a wet Christmas?
35 days away from Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
That's about right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a little early. I'm a little early. But you're starting to hear about
Halloween. Halloween starts the holiday season, and Halloween is a week from yesterday.
Mm. Or Sunday?
Yeah, it's Sunday this year.
It's
falls
Sunday
on
this
Sunday.
Year? Okay.
Yeah. Mike, it's really complicated because Satan's Day falls on the Lord's Day.
Ah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Satan's Day.
Satan's Day.
I watched a lot of scary movies over the weekend. I really, really did. We have so much to cover on today's show. I want to talk about Chappelle. I want to talk about more about that prop gun situation with Alec Baldwin. I want to talk about the fact that we, except for Rob, watched Dune. And I want to watch. I want to watch.
So funny. It's
like
I'll show them.
He will not watch anything
I'll
new.
I'll show them.
Anywho, it's there's a lot going on, but what I really want to talk about is what my son wanted to do this weekend.
Yeah, I'm sorry I got us sidetracked. I didn't mean to do that.
We went out to Happy Acres on Friday night A little too much wine was had. Carla got upset. I got upset. We left kind of in a huff, and it just, you know,
the divisions. What is Happy Acres? Is this your new neighborhood?
That's the new my new place where I play. Right. And it's just, I have to accept the reality that I got to lay low and I got to go high when people go low, because it's never been like this before and it's never going to change, not for the foreseeable future. I got a target on my back and that's just the way it's always going to be. And it's sad.
I thought
and it
the
sucks.
New place was better.
Yeah.
No. The new place could even be a little bit worse.
Oh, my God.
Because
weren't you operating under the impression that it was better?
It could never have been Mike's fault. Ever.
No. I'm not talking about
kind of like
facilities.
When you look around the card table and you say
and
there's
I heard
no
that,
sucker
I heard
here.
That it could never be Mike's fault. So F you with that, Oscar.
No, Oscar, you know
Oscar is in pure scab picking mode right now.
It's the
and
switch
I'm not
to
having any.
It's
I had too
to
much
mornings.
Of a weekend. Yeah.
But Oscar, you know the story about if you're playing poker and you look around the card table and you don't see the sucker.
Yeah.
You're the sucker.
I don't think Mike's a sucker.
No, I don't think so
either. He's bombastic.
No, but it's no, what it is like I don't
shaggy.
Take crap. I don't take crap.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Like,
you don't
I didn't
suffer
take it from
fools.
My kids. I didn't take it. I don't like it, but I don't envision a world where I'm going to be anything but the label. Insert label here. Mm-hmm. You know? I'm not Mike. I'm the label guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a... And that's never going to change. And that's just reality. So it was, let's just say that that's how the weekend started. And then the weekend ended with my son where I said, after the Giants game was over, way to go, Giants. Mm-hmm. He actually gave me a pleasant, relaxing Sunday of football. I really enjoyed that. He wanted to paint. Mom bought him some paints, I think, after piano on Saturday, and he wanted to paint. And that was what he was all jacked up to do it. And I
did you tell him do the bathroom, two coats?
There was like this sale.
Primer, son.
There was this
important.
Sale on canvas.
Oh, yep. Look at that.
At Michael's Crafts, which was the last time I thought maybe therapeutically I would paint pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I went into the paint section and the prices were so high that I turned around and said, no, I don't want to do that.
I remember.
Carla apparently said there's this robo sale on canvases and paints and everything that we had. A family painting party on
sweet.
Sunday.
Now that's
and these
cool.
are all, these are all 1, 2, 3, 4. I think I've got 2 from my son, 1 from my wife.
So these are originals.
These are original paintings.
Nice.
What is your medium? Was it oils, temperas?
Acrylics.
Okay, very good.
I think.
Yeah,
right?
That makes sense. Like in the tubes.
Oil, acrylic, whatever, similar. It's not watercolor. That's what I can tell you. So it was a really big deal. You ready for... can we have some show and tell music?
Yeah, I would love
so
that'd
I can
be great.
Mm-hmm. Share
so,
the paintings here.
Just for our new listeners.
Yes.
Your wife, your son, and you had a
Carla, Michael, and me.
Had a family painting evening or
right.
day.
Yeah, and this was before or after the football?
After the football is in a fabulous
Let's
mood.
See if we can see the joy in Mike's.
You know, a lot of times mood determines what the way art
ask
looks.
Van Gogh.
Exactly.
I will say that I went abstract on this.
He won't
hear as my son did. My wife really only was the only one who drew something. But let me start with my son's abstract. And Let's here see. We go. That's my son's.
Oh, nice.
You know, it has an Asian feel to it. It's lovely.
I don't see that. I actually see X's and O's.
Like football?
Yeah.
No, I don't see that. I see birds. Boys.
Very cool. He's very good.
And
very
a good impressive. Use of
we
color.
We are going to start this lot at 427,500. 427. We have 420. I'm sorry, we're 320,000. $1 from the equilibrium.
Do you take cryptocurrency?
Crypto, yes, of course.
Thank you.
When did
my crypto
wet?
Wallet.
Why did that feel wet? Oh, there's my masterpiece. Let me see.
Beautiful masterpiece.
Would you like to see another one from Michael?
I would. Yeah, I would.
Great.
This is a similar theme. This has his name on it.
Oh, he signed it. Well, that increases the value.
I didn't know he did 2 of these, but this is the second one, I think.
Yeah, it's a series.
The first
Mike.
One
it's
I liked
series.
A little better.
It's a series.
Very,
I like theme. The use of color in the first one better, but that one has the signature.
That
so
looked like a huddle to me.
Now this is Mrs. Still? O'Mara's right here. This is Mrs. O'Mara.
Hey, you know what that looks like, Mike? That looks like a feather.
Happiness.
That bird has
beautiful.
A feather
it's a
on
feather.
It. Yeah, it's a feather. And she, did she just initially?
You want to know when you're
going to
have a funny radio show? Show paintings at the beginning of your show.
That's great.
No, I love it.
Why the feather?
Yeah, why a feather?
Like, why was she...
Once again, this is, you know what, we're going to talk about Chappelle today. This is when I edit myself.
Yeah.
1985, I would have had a joke for you instantaneously.
I have a joke.
Go ahead and give me your joke, all right?
All right.
Why did she paint a feather?
Just for fun, let me stop the music so it really pops.
Oh, that's great. And that's really helpful, Rob. Why don't you keep the music going? Thank you very much. Yes.
No, ask me again.
Okay, good.
Why do you think she painted a feather?
Maybe because she wants to lighten the mood, right? Maybe it was a tense situation. She was like, I'm light as a feather. I'm light as a feather.
See, that's not a joke. That's a serious analysis.
I'm light as a feather. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did she tell you why?
Because she wants to carry her own bucket. No, I'm sorry. That's the joke I had, too.
Hey, Mike, does she tickle your ass with that feather?
Tickle your ass today? And then, are you ready?
Yes. This excites me because your father was an artist.
My father was a really talented man.
And I cleaned up after you in the studio for many years. I don't mean that the way it sounds. But like when your show would finish, I'd pick up your papers and stuff like that, right?
Right.
And you,
baby.
No, you doodled a lot.
I always doodled eyes. So
have you ever looked into that? What that means?
Well, what doodling an eye means?
Yeah.
The third eye.
Somebody's watching me. And here we go. This is mine.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. Look at the rage.
Now, what football does that suggest to you?
No, this is pure rage.
What do you mean, what football does that suggest to you?
Everything he's looked at, he's said it looks like football.
They're Giants colors, but they're a rage.
No, I see.
Those are Giants colors.
What I
see.
Let me see
if I did it the right way. Hold on.
Hold it right side up.
All right, this is the way it's supposed to look.
Yeah, to me, that looks like brush, like in a swampland.
No, that's blood stains.
No, it's the red and blue from the Giants, right? So it's the happiness of the Giants.
So here you go. I was sitting there going, okay, I'm going to be painting something abstract with color. Color and matching color is extremely important.
Yes.
So I am here to tell you, and this is no great stretch because you picked it up right away. Mm-hmm. I literally looked over at the replays that they were doing at that particular, because we immediately started painting after the game. And I looked at the Giants' colors, and I said, there's a little blue, there's a little white, there's a little red, and there's a little gray.
You put the gray for the contrast, perfect.
And then here's where I really liked it until I put the black dots on it.
Well, that's the rage, Mike.
That's
No, I disagree.
The rage.
Mike,
the rage.
I really think what... Regardless,
kind of looks like Jackson Pollock, doesn't it?
Yeah, regardless of where the inspiration for the color came from, I like the layout of it, and to me it looks like a nature scene.
I'd buy that from IKEA.
Yeah, I would.
I would.
MyKEA.
Yeah.
The new art store, MyKEA.
I like the medium, and I enjoyed the painting, and it was over quickly. And,
why did you not sign yours?
Very therapeutic. I don't know why I didn't sign mine. Perhaps I'll sign it at a later date. I'll put a little Sharpie on it.
Yeah, I was going to say, have a Sharpie. You could sign it right now.
Or with the fruitcake, golden ticket.
Yeah, yeah. You want some canvas with your fruitcake? Thank you.
If you would like an original Mike O'Mara, please contact everybody at the station.
Yes, everybody simultaneously.
If there's a market for these, I will continue to paint for you.
What you got there, Oscar?
I got a note here.
Hot note.
So,
who handed it to you, first of all?
My wife.
So I know the other. Shannon popped in? Yes. What did she write?
She goes, is Pony gaslighting Dan O'Brien? And so
this is unrelated to our discussion
on
the show.
No,
she's
of course
just, like,
not.
Me,
here I was waiting for some witty Shannon slam about my painting.
A button on the painting, and already she's let the dog in and out twice.
Yeah, yeah. She goes, out of jealousy because he's got a great job on TMOS. You know how Dan's getting a great, like, he's getting great reviews online for his appearance, for his time on the show.
Right.
Like, yeah, he's like, and he, in fairness to Dan, Dan is funny.
At lunch on Friday, Dan Cole, another Podville employee, said to Dan, he says, these ladies here haven't heard you on the show. Can you do your Dan O'Brien voice?
Like, he's getting requests for the Dan O'Brien voice.
Around the office.
And then Dan, what did Dan go? Yes, I can. He's an Irishman, so I'm sure he did it.
This is a great lunch.
So explain the gaslighting theory, though.
Because there are too many Dans that work at Podville.
Right.
There just is. So instead of Mike... There are. Thank you. So instead of having three Michaels, we decided to say we're going to have their first letter of their name and their last name in their emails instead of like Dan so and so, Dan so and so, Dan so and so. So Pony set up Dan's new email, D O'Brien. And he spelled his last name with an A, not an E.
Oh, so that's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Is that where Shannon thinks the gaslighting? So he might not get correspondence he's supposed to get and things like that.
I'm sorry you didn't get your shipment.
Let me tell you why I think this is a possibility. Do you remember when I was talking about Pony on the show and I went to Pony and said, no, I'm just getting pounded on. Mm-hmm. We're feeding into, at my expense, the continual narrative of me being the big bully monster, which has been
an abuser.
Really, when I think of the contributions he's made to my world, that's been almost since the day he arrived.
Yeah.
Where the only thing I see that there's real consistency in is saying that I am a monster.
It's not just
I
you.
Am abusive.
I get the same thing.
I'm sure
thing.
It's everybody. It's poor, pitiful me forever, you know?
I get the same thing from some listeners that they're like, you're just being too hard on him, right?
If you present a certain persona, it's going to look like you're an abused person because you're presenting yourself as a target.
And let's be completely honest, you do it too.
Of course.
To both Oscar and me all the time.
We all do it to everybody.
You don't really pick on anybody a lot. You get mad and you'll, but you don't pick on people like Oscar, and I pick on people. But I mean, we do it only when we're kind of frustrated with the circumstances that are going on. Now, so with that answer, that long diatribe that I just went on, I would not, because of that, though, it is a form of dishonesty, in my opinion.
Well,
it
is a form. You're one of the most benevolent people I've ever worked with.
But do you understand when they pick on you or pick on me for saying things, it is a form of saying, I'm not going to mention, in your case, much more than me, the good that's been done for me. I'm going to mention that. And with Pony, in Pony's case, I don't have interaction with Pony. He's your guy.
Yeah,
I know that.
And this is by design. There's a reason you moved to Florida.
But the answer to, I've had interactions with Pony, good and bad. Yeah. Pony and I exchange, here's the truest
nice text
story.
This weekend.
When Pony this weekend texted us that Dune was a 10, because of my experience with Pony recommendations, which has been very, very favorable, I immediately said, I'm in. When Pony sent that email out, I was probably, this was Saturday morning, right?
Yes.
I was probably watching, or Sunday morning, Saturday morning or Sunday morning.
It was Saturday morning.
I think it was Saturday.
Yeah, because
I was
all
watching that, whatever morning it was, excuse me, I was watching within an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I was watching the film. Getting back to my original point, though, with the poor, pitiful me, I don't put it past him. Where if Dan O'Brien is someone who represents a threat, that maybe O-B-R-E, let's put an A in there. Yes. And obviously, I'm not the only one who thinks it's possible. Your wife, Shannon, picked up on that as well.
Yeah.
Now, at the root of it, it would be the most nefarious of nefarious if Dan, who's getting more responsibility across the board at TMOS and Podville, that after we ask for a new email for an employee that's working from home all the time, where we can't just walk over and say, hey, can you just set this up?
Right.
That he would do that where he's not receiving certain emails.
Like in the pipeline for the show or for Podville.
Yeah, which would ultimately make Dan look in a lesser light.
Now, let me give you my defense of Pony and why I don't think that would happen. Numbers, letters, right? A bit of a challenge in the past, right?
He's known to transpose certain things. But
exactly.
It could have auto-corrected.
Incorrectly.
If he had, you know what? If it was the greatest dyslexic error would have been if his email
he's
had been.
He's not dyslexic, though.
But the greatest error would have been if the email was Dan O'Brien.
Brain spelled B-R-A-E-N.
Exactly.
Pony?
Yes.
So the B-R-I-A-N, simple oversight?
Yeah, it was a what I would call a 9:30 typo, which is a when I get a message at about 9:30 on a Monday when I'm having a few cocktails with my friends and there's a frantic call to get an email changed over. I said, all right, I'll go ahead and, and do that right now.
But it's Monday a week later.
What you talking about?
I'm just saying, if it's a Monday email, it's
a Monday.
Is that Monday.
Like a Willis that we got? Yeah. What you talking about? Yeah.
He's working on a new character.
It's a 50-year-old character
of Gary Coleman. Is Monday still spaghetti night?
Oh, of course.
Oh, that's
this
nice.
Was a
Anthony.
That's Wednesday. That's Wednesday.
Guess what time I have? I have the text. I have the text exchange.
Okay.
What time do you think he feels like it's too late to contact him?
9:30. He said 9 p.m.
I would say 8 p.m.
I texted him at 5:49 p.m.
There you go. Normal business hours.
There it is, though. There it is. There it is, listeners. Welcome to my world. Welcome to my
pony. What that smell is? That's gas from the gas line.
Pony.
Yes.
Your excuse was a lie.
Well, I didn't.
A bald-faced lie.
I didn't see the message until about 9 o'clock.
Oh, there we are.
You're supposed to be on call all the time.
That's right.
Would it not be, as far as a challenge of communication, wouldn't he be the clear leader?
Sorry, I didn't see the text. Yeah. What happened to being on call?
Yeah, we like.
Honey, what is your current working relationship with Mr. Dan O'Brien?
Well, Dan, I think Dan and I get along really well. We work well together. We handle all sorts of tasks around PV and on Mike O'Mara's show together, and I think we do a pretty good
job. And when they stand side by side, they look like a semicolon. It's a beautiful thing.
How tall is Dan O'Brien?
He's not very tall.
I would say on a great day.
5'3"?
5'6".
I'd say 5'6 is probably a pretty solid
real, guy. Like the Lord gave him 5'6".
Yeah, okay. 5'6".
Right. I'm not wearing lifts.
If he's wearing lifts, then who knows?
Elevator
Have you seen
shoes.
His new lifts, by the way? The insert lifts?
No.
Oh, this is a
Dan O'Brien's wearing insert lifts?
No. But I almost bought them for Dan because I was thinking of, because I saw them and I was like, I've never seen this offering for men where they're like your athletic sole, but they go into your shoe and they have different tiers of lift.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I've heard of those.
I've never heard of
those.
Those
have
before.
Been used. Yeah, because, crazy. I mean, they used to be called, back in the day, elevator shoes.
Or as John Pop said on the spot on WJFK, elevator shoes.
Elevator shoes.
Elevator shoes.
Yeah, but are they inserts?
National Rifle Association. but anyway, but now it's more sophisticated and you can put those lifts
in
your shoes.
By the way,
if you're wearing high tops, you'd be a giant. You could be just like Bill Walton, which would be really, really special. Wouldn't that be great?
Fantastic. Well, Bill Walton, a lot of people don't know this, was only 5'10".
I was 5'10", like, by the time I got my inserts, I played in the NBA.
If you're a shorter guy and you're wearing cowboy boots all the time, I always felt like, okay, that you're just trying to be taller.
I wore Western boots when I was 5'10 and a half, not quite 5'11.
But did you wear them because you wanted to be taller or the style?
I thought when I wore them with like a jacket and things like that, it was a better line. It lifted me up enough to make me look taller.
And
I
also it was great for two-stepping.
And fighting.
Fight.
And
that's
fighting.
Right.
Yeah.
You were wearing cowboy
boots. You know, I've never worn them since.
There's never a pair.
Not a pair in my closet.
No.
They're all thrown out.
You used to have them a lot. You used to wear them a lot.
I have 8 pairs of them.
That's 16
And then
boots.
I got rid of them. I was there because I was freaked out by the idea of wearing them. And now, you know, down here, the dress code's so different down here where, you know, we walk around in shorts constantly.
Well, shorts and cowboy boots is a good look.
Well, then I'd be going out with you and Twitch.
Exactly. Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would.
But anyway, this gaslighting thing.
Yes.
Do you think there's anything to it, Oscar?
Well, there is a part of Pony that I think he unconsciously, and I've asked Pony this, if he unconsciously hates certain people because unconsciously he's dead. You're right.
No, unconsciously is after the fight.
Subconsciously hates certain people, so his brain does things his conscious wouldn't want to do.
And I to add to that, I have noticed that since Pony has gone to his modified work from home schedule, he has a more lighthearted attitude that might not be quite as detail oriented.
Yeah. Which, by the way, we got to talk about after the show, Pony. There's some developments.
Like, I did not know that.
Not because you've done anything you know, to warrant a development.
Right.
It's outside factors of the business.
For example, Pony will just come down the hall and all of a sudden flop to his knees and give Santos a good rubbing.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, and it's nice to have Pat Dog
here. Sound disgusting.
No, he's sweet. You're a sweet dog person. You love animals.
That is so gross and pervy, Rob.
Well, I didn't mean it to sound that way.
Give him a good rubbing.
A good, okay.
That sounds like the guy from Something About Mary, you know?
Hello, Mary. I'm going to give you a good rogering.
All right, let
so
me rephrase
gross.
It.
A good rubbing.
He'll drop down and bring Santos over and pet him and greet him and show him affection.
Yeah, he's a dog whisperer.
But the thing is that I would say that 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, this wouldn't happen. I think that this is more of a thing.
Is he happier?
Well, yeah, are you happier, Pony, with your new schedule?
Oh, absolutely. And school's going well, and, yeah. and I feel like my life's getting on track.
You might want to put a pin in the... I guess I can talk about it here. Might as well. I won't be vague about it.
Is it the misspellings that make you happy?
No. So, and this is, I can't believe this is happening in real time.
Gotta do it, man. Oh, gotta do it. Gotta do it.
Well, is this something we're, we have to talk to Pony about?
No, this isn't a bad thing. This is just,
okay.
You know, the consequences of doing business. So we had an organizational meeting yesterday, management team. And we were going through schedules and laying everything out. We have a big graph. And I was like, man, we have a big, like, We're gonna have to need because Dan O'Brien's taking on more responsibilities in certain places. We're gonna need Pony to come in more than twice a week in the mornings, and this is your official notice on the show.
Oh no!
That's good.
Oh no!
You can leave after the show. Fine.
But you know what it is? It's really not a breaking news story. It's an invitation. We'd like to invite you to come.
What's
in
What's his
more.
Schedule right now? How many days does he come in?
He comes in on Mondays and Wednesdays.
And what's the schedule going to be now?
Well, he can come in on Mondays, Wednesdays. No, Mondays, Tuesday, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Friday.
You mean he's not staying home anymore?
Every weekend.
This is the thing.
Pony, is this the first you've heard of this?
Yeah, it definitely is.
Real time.
See, and it is a good thing.
Yeah. So... If I'm not mistaken...
Look at how gleeful Rob is about it.
No, I'm loving...
Rob, were you a little jealous with Pony's schedule?
No, I'm just loving the fact that this is happening right now, and
this
I get to see Pony sitting in the dark, and his face is falling like a Nazi at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Well, I thought this just changed, and you were doing this so he could get his education.
It did, because we were doing afternoons. And afternoons was killing him because he had to be here early throughout the whole day.
Yeah.
He's still going to get that time back because he'll be able to leave right after the show.
So he leaves after the taping?
Yes. He's going to be fine.
Pony, you got a problem with that?
I'm not a huge fan of commuting that much more.
Traffic, yeah, nobody is.
I mean, really.
I love it. And you know, if this is about his education, here's the lesson learned now. Schedules are always changing. That's a good thing to learn part of
but
your education.
Look, in fairness, Pony, it's not a big sacrifice.
This is going to be, it's by the way, not. This is going to be you being presented as a monster, you know. Oscar, that's the way it's going to because you made a big deal about his
monster.
New schedule.
Podville
no,
monster.
His old schedule, he would come in the mornings and leave at 2 o'clock.
Well, 157.
Yes.
So this schedule, you know, he's got the whole day.
He's got the whole day still.
Exactly.
He just has to do a commute.
He leaves after the show.
Mm-hmm.
Hello,
Pony.
I'm
Mr.
here.
Bloom.
I'm listening. I'm obviously not a huge fan of this idea, but I mean, we'll see how it goes, I guess.
Well, you know what it is? It's actually less hours in the office for you.
That is wonderful. Thank you, Rob.
It is. You have the time you need.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You literally just have to now be responsible for your for being the executive producer of the show on site because mm-hmm. Dan O'Brien has
other duties.
He's got mm-hmm. a bunch of stuff that's coming to his plate.
Yes.
Now Dan can pitch hit for you, you know, here and there, but when you have an exam or something. No. But he may not be able to.
A lot
do
of times, if you plan
about.
Ahead,
so I guess you'll meet with Pony after the show.
Yeah, we'll
discuss
have a post.
This.
You know, post.
Why don't meeting. You meet with Pony at 6 p.m. here at the office?
You're the cruelest of all, Rob. Pony, are you surprised Rob's like being so mean?
Not really.
He's giddy.
I mean, you know what? I think this is all just fine. Just fine.
Pony, let's do some rough math here. The show ends. You post. you get out of here, worst case scenario, by 11, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so then that's so 11. So 11, 12. So you got 3 hours backed in your day every day times five. That's 15 more hours every week for yourself.
That's great. I'm just, you know, kind of wrapping my head around the fact that this is like all of a sudden just happening right now out of the blue.
It's not out of the blue.
As good this surprises often happen.
Remember when you said, hey, I've started school out of the blue to me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is kind of how it feels. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, that was nice and awkward.
Yeah. All right. You I know guess what, Oscar? You've given him 780 additional hours a year.
Oh, my God. Yes.
700. That's like 10 work weeks that you've just said for you.
Yeah. Maybe we could do Friday off. You can work from home Friday. Because we can do the bonus show with Dan behind the controller.
That would make sense. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so.
I want to prepare you for, you know, the tough part before when we talked was because the show was in the afternoons. But now that we're back to morning schedule,
right?
I think we should be A-okay.
I think so.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you concur, Mike?
I just heard Pony Breed.
Yep, that's it. Darth Bloom.
Sounds pretty good to me.
That's a sweet deal, by the way.
It is a good deal. It is.
There's no adjustment to pay.
I work from home, but I'm 130 years old.
We're good to go.
Mike, you look a Thank day you. Over 120.
Appreciate that. We have to take a break.
Let's.
Everything all right, Pony?
Just great.
Okay, very good. That's good. I'll let you two finish that up. I don't have a dog in this fight because I'm really not involved in it, but we'll see. I like the idea of O'Brien on Friday.
O'Brien Fridays.
Yeah, O'Brien Fridays.
O'Brien Fridays. Yeah. We'll take a break. We will come back with the homepage. You, ladies and gentlemen, what a weird show. Are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present the creature?
You're a monster.
You're a monster. Right.
So I'm a monster. We're not monsters.
That's scary stuff, isn't it?
You're the monster. No, you were built this way, young lady.
You incredible, soulless prick.
Come over here, you hot monster.
But I'm a monster.
Rob. Yeah. He's a monster. That's Absolutely. What he is.
Oh my God, is this you calling me a monster?
You're a monster.
If you don't have a Mike O'Mara Show bonus subscription, you're a monster. Your blood will run cold with the fear of missing out on the frighteningly funniest hour of TMOS every week. Uncut, uncensored,
undead.
It's alive!
Save yourself by ordering a TMOS bonus subscription by clicking the bloody banner at MikeOMaraShow.com. The power of Christ compels you.
You're an inhuman monster.
I said good day.
There they are.
The
Halloweeners promo.
Yeah,
I love that. Hey, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Cryptocurrency might feel like a super secret or exclusive club. I'll tell you one thing I know. Everybody's talking about it.
Yes.
Coinbase believes that everyone everywhere should be able to get in the door. Whether you've been trading for years or just getting started, Coinbase can help. If you identify as crypto curious, Coinbase makes learning to buy and sell simple. Coinbase offers a trusted and easy-to-use platform to buy, sell, and spend cryptocurrency. You really need to check it out. If you're like me and you're crypto curious, they're going to teach you a lot of different things about how it works. Plus, they support the most popular digital currencies on the market, and they make them accessible to everyone. They offer portfolio management and protection, learning resources, and a mobile app so you can trade securely and monitor your crypto all in one place. Millions of people in over 100 countries trust Coinbase with their digital assets. Whether you're looking to diversify or just getting started, visit the website and check it out. It's a great time to get started. For a limited time, new users can get $10 in free Bitcoin when you sign up today at coinbase.com/TMOS. That's coinbase.com/TMOS for $10 in free Bitcoin. This offer is for a limited time only, so be sure to sign up today. That's coinbase.com/TMOS. And thank you, Coinbase, for sponsoring our show. We truly appreciate it.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
This is the homepage, and this year's World Series matchup has been set. My Red Sox were not able to hang in with the Houston Astros, but they were never expected to get that far anyway, so good season for them. Unlike preseason predictions, the LA Dodgers aren't in it either. Neither are the New York Yankees, the Chicago White Sox, the San Diego Padres, or the Tampa Bay Rays. None of the teams predicted at the beginning of the year made it. It'll be the Houston Astros versus the Atlanta Braves. Those pesky sign-stealing Astros. No, I'm not going to do that. Everybody's doing that, and it's so rude. Anyway, they paid their dues. The Astros are back in it for the third time in 5 years. They defeated the Dodgers in 2017 and then lost to the Nationals in 2019. Of course, we now know that they were cheating in 2017 when they won. The Astros claim they stopped before 2019, but a lot of people believe it continued until they were caught.
We're not cheating anymore. We're not cheating anymore at all.
We're not doing it. Hey, sign stealing's as old as baseball.
Exactly.
But anywho, and you know, the manager of the Red Sox was with them, and Alex Cora paid his dues for that. The Astros also lost to the White Sox in the 2005 World Series. The Braves are returning for the first time in 22 years, Hotlanta people. As you may remember, Atlanta was dominant back in the 90s. They made the World Series 5 times in 8 years. I remember it because it was boring to me. They won once over the Cleveland Indians and lost to the Minnesota Twins, the Blue Jays, and the Yankees twice. To get to the World Series, the Astros eliminated the Boston Red Sox on Friday, and the Braves beat the Dodgers on Saturday. Both series were won 4-2. Game one of the World Series is tomorrow night. I don't know.
Ted Atlanta, Turner still have anything to do with the Braves?
I don't. Ted Turner, if you've checked on him recently, probably doesn't have much to do with that.
Mike, he's 82 years old. I just checked. I wanted to make sure.
I believe he's got some cognitive difficulties.
I'm happy for the Braves.
Remember the
David Justice era where they actually were you know, constant postseason appearances. Like it,
and there was a rednecky guy too, a pitcher. I'm trying to think, can't remember his name, who was an ass Brave. But huge fan base because of the national television exposure.
Yeah,
that they got more than any other team. So
Ted Turner's cognitive issues started when he put Mama's Family at 5 minutes after the hour.
He's got some Alzheimer's going on, Rob. That's what I'm trying to say.
Really evil. Jesus Christ.
Rob took his evil pills.
We should have seen the clues.
This will get Rob sad.
Okay.
Actor Peter Scolari passed away on
this
Friday.
This did make me sad.
At the age of 66, he died from leukemia after being diagnosed 2 years ago. He co-starred with Tom Hanks on the sitcom Bosom Buddies, played Michael Harris on Newhart, and more recently had a recurring role as Lena Dunham's dad on Girls. Peter earned 3 Emmy nominations for Newhart and won one for Outstanding Guest Actor in a Comedy Series for Girls. In a statement, Bob Newhart said, quote, "I knew that Peter was sick, but his death still comes as a great shock. We were friends and colleagues for over 40 years. In life, he was a fantastic person, and it was a joy to work together." So Peter Scolari, really well-known actor, very funny guy.
I'd say a lot of bad things about Tom Hanks on this program, but I will say this, he was always loyal to Peter Scolari, and when Peter Scolari's career was a little soft, he put him in a small role in That Thing You Do. And so you can see him, he plays the TV host when they play the Ed Sullivan-like show at the end of the movie. He put Peter Scolari in the movie as a favor to him. I think that's very cool.
Paul Walker's daughter, speaking of people passing away, his daughter's name is Meadow. She got married recently. And since Paul is no longer with us, Vin Diesel stepped up to walk Meadow down the aisle. Paul and Vin were close. In fact, Vin was Meadow's godfather. So maybe it was his duty to be there for Meadow. In any event, she posted the photo online. And I think it'd be fun if I saw you two walking either one of my daughters if I wasn't around. Here, I consider that a formal request. That would be wonderful.
Oscar should probably do it because I probably won't be walking.
Oscar, that's probably true. Rob, wheel Rob into the back corner and we'll
do you have a charger for my Rascal?
That's right, yeah.
I would hate for it to break down up the aisle.
Back up.
Oh, beep, beep, beep.
She posted a photo online and comments from fans, including lines, quote, "Vin walking, you made me tear up, and I'm a damn guy. Paul would have been so proud of this moment, and Vin is so sweet for doing that. You know, Vin Diesel's gotten a lot of crap recently with the battle with The Rock, so, I mean, it's nice to see him do something nice, you know.
Mike, I'm sorry. This is killing me. I'm looking at Pony right now, and it looks like I just punched him in the gut. Matt Bloom, you have to relax. Like, we're not going to change your life all of a sudden. Like, it'll be on demand when Dan O'Brien has some conflicts. You're going to be fine. Not all the time. All right?
I understand that. Okay. You're making it sound like it was going to be a...
yeah, but can I ask you a question? The softening of America and the reason why we can't get people to work.
Kind of don't mind this bleeding into my news a little bit.
Is this BS?
This is the
BS. It's not like you're getting paid less. It's not like we're docking your pay from working from home. You work. This is a broadcast entity. You have to. We need people on site. So for you to start moping around because I'm breaking balls behind the glass does not help this man.
Try to fake looking happy, Pony.
I will do that.
Thank you. All right. More families are getting together.
Mike, when you wear a mask, no one can see you frown.
More families are getting together for Thanksgiving and Christmas this year. I cannot tell you how thrilled I am. And, you know, I got to touch base with them this week, with both my daughters and their significant coming to
my home. Yep.
So this is the exact product we'll need more of, not less of. And it's going to scare Rob Spiewak. So, Rob, beware. A major alcohol shortage might be coming.
No!
Can they hear him down the hallway?
Oh, they can hear upstairs and downstairs.
Yeah, but at least I...
Jesus Christ.
At least I don't have to come into work every day.
Major alcohol.
God, not a kick fan of the commute.
Kick him when they're up, kick him when they're down.
And you, this is what we got to deal with. Like what... This is... Stop the music for a second.
It's okay, Jimmy Durante. Stop the music.
Would you ever have the balls? Well, if your boss said, hey, you know what? I'm so sorry about the scheduling. We're getting really jammed up. And the guy that was supposed to step in for you, he'll be busy for the foreseeable future. So you got to start coming in for 3 hours a day. 3 hours a day. God willing. And then
I need you to clarify something. This job that you're talking about, have I coasted in it for the last 10 years?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to know for details.
3 hours a day. And then mope behind the glass of
I think you two are being very, very unfair. Anyway, moving right along.
Now you're gaslighting us.
Thank you. So listen to me. Let me tell you about the booze.
Yes. I don't like this.
Stores in Southern California are already dealing with it because of pandemic-related backlogs at the Port of L.A. and the Port of Long Beach. They're the two busiest container ports in the U.S. 40% of all shipping containers pass through here, by the way. With all due respect, I understand people get their hooch from other parts of the world, but you know what? Doesn't this kind of speak to what we make in this country? I thought at least we could make booze, but no. We get our booze from what? Grey Goose comes from France,
yes,
correct?
Yes, exactly.
No, Whistlepig, Vermont.
Jameson's, Ireland, but it's crazy. Well, there are shortages of all kinds of things, including alcohol and glass bottles. The regional manager for a chain of liquor stores in L.A. says they have no idea which products they'll be getting each day. One day this weekend, around 50 people were already lined up when they opened just to be the first to get their hands on whatever alcohol they got on that day. I didn't know it was this could work its way across the country.
The weird thing about the bottle shortage is I was at the ABC store on Friday. I had to buy a bag of Crown Royal.
Yeah. You know, is booze really all it's cracked up to be?
Sopping wet.
Yeah. No, I mean, really. Really need alcohol? I don't think so. Because, I mean, what if you're drinking too much? And then Friday night, you leave a massive dinner table, by saying, they're all bigots. Anyway. Yes, sir. Yep.
Yeah. Well, just to be safe, I'll buy a 12-pack of Miller Lite to make sure my mom still shows up to my house.
Only thing I heard in my rearview mirror as I was walking out, over the line.
You're over the line.
Like the guy in Good Morning Vietnam.
Yes.
Way, way, way over the line.
I like humor. Anyway, they're not totally sold out of alcohol, but he said certain types of booze are flying off the shelves. And as soon as they stock more, it's gone in a day. If I can digress now, because Oscar's making me want to digress, I have to say, I'm allergic, okay? If I go too far, I break out an asshole. That's what it is. Yeah. Okay? Period. And by the way, the allergy is not getting better with age. It's getting worse. A shortage of supply chain workers isn't helping. December 18th is the deadline for companies that work with the federal government to get employees vaccinated or lay them off. So if the government and vaccine hesitant workers refuse to budge, that could lead to even more supply chain issues.
Yeah. Another problem is last Friday, they wanted a guy to come in to unload the truck and he wouldn't come in for 3 hours.
Pony, is there anything you'd like to say to Rob?
Everybody.
Oh, wow. There we are.
I can't wait.
That's awesome.
Can't wait.
That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Over the line.
Way over the line.
And now a little something. Rob, at the end, I'll cue you for the question.
Okay. I'll be right
a 61-year-old man in Ireland. You're supposed to say that in rehearsal, our big elaborate rehearsal. A 61-year-old man in Ireland has just been sentenced to 6 months in prison for releasing rats in his office. Pony, don't get any ideas.
Yeah, how dare you?
He worked for the county government, and he had been there 23 years, but then he had a falling out with his manager.
Oh boy.
He brought the rats into the office and set them free at night. And when everyone arrived in the morning, there was rat poo everywhere.
Dear.
The guy was ratted out by security footage, which showed him bringing them in. The judge said it was uniquely wicked, the act of his, because of all the effort that he put into finding, catching, and releasing the rats. The rats caused almost $3,500 in damage, or I guess if it's Ireland, $3,500. In addition to the six-month prison sentence, the man had to cover the $3,500 cleaning bill. The 6 months would probably be reduced to 3 months. And, if he'd been a 33-year-old, he wouldn't have done this.
Understood.
But for now, he leaves for jail tomorrow.
Mañana.
Yes. What did he say was the reasoning behind it?
No, simpler, easier than that. But for now, he leaves for jail tomorrow.
And what are his plans from there?
No. What? And tomorrow, he leaves for jail. All right, it's 3,500.
What time is he leaving for jail?
3:30, you moron!
Okay.
Jeez Louise, somebody had the bottle. He was with Twitch, drunk with Twitch all weekend. There we go. Anyway, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll touch some more. No, we're not. No, we're going to lift you up today. We're not going to talk about Alec Baldwin. Forget about that. Yeah. We'll talk about more fun and more thrills right here. Robin Twitch being mistaken for a gay couple when we come back.
Pumpkin spice coffee.
Yes.
Pumpkin spice coffee creamer.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, the maze.
Pumpkin spice cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Pumpkin spice ice cream.
Delicious.
Pumpkin spice air fresheners.
Smells like autumn. Ah.
Pumpkin spice bath bombs.
Sure. Okay.
Pumpkin spice deodorant.
Well.
Pumpkin spice Sudoku books.
Wait, what?
Pumpkin spice underpants.
Is that a thing?
Pumpkin spice condoms.
Well, now you're just being an asshole.
Wait, pumpkin spice?
If you're feeling spicy, you can find all your favorite pumpkin spice treats and products for the home at Target and Walmart through the Mike O'Mara Show Shopping Center. Click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com and have them shipped directly to your door, or you can pick them up at the store. Your purchases help support the funny, so get your spice on today.
Spicy!
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Ultimate Ears Fits, everybody. Let's talk about ears, baby! Just like fingerprints, no two ears are exactly alike. That's why your earbuds probably start getting uncomfortable after a while, and that's no good. Ultimate Ears Fits True Wireless Custom Fit Earbuds from Ultimate Ears are here to change all that. These are the world's most comfortable earbuds. You get a guaranteed perfect fit in 60 seconds. They stay put when you're on the go, and they feel great. Ultimate Ears Fits actually physically mold to your ear for a perfect fit. Just put them in, connect to the app, and watch the purple LEDs transform the earbuds to your unique shape. And their charge lasts all day. Ultimate Ears Fits are perfect for listening to your favorite shows, like this one, right up till bedtime, and for either music or voice. The sound is amazing. And if you don't love them, like we do, Ultimate Ears offers a 30-day money-back guarantee and free shipping, free returns, and a one-year warranty. For a limited time, get 15% off your pair of Ultimate Ears Fits True Wireless Earbuds at ue.com/fits. Just use promo code TMOS at checkout. That's 15% off with promo code TMOS at ue.com/fits. And we thank you. There we go, Mr. Mike. Happy
we're
Monday.
In business.
Yeah, we're in business. Big business.
So I did see that who was the one that posted I'm out with my best gal? Was that,
That was Twitch.
That was Twitch. And you guys like to go out and you have one particular activity that you're both very good at. Pounding
yes,
alcohol.
But before that, we went to our favorite record store. It's in Hagerstown, Maryland. And since my house is kind of on the way to Hagerstown from where Mark lives, about twice a year, we'll go up there, and they just opened a new showroom. It's called Hub City Vinyl. Shout out to them. They're not getting a deal for me, but it's just a great record store. They have
Hub City Vinyl. And then when you get done with your record, do you drive back to Virginia?
Yes, or there's a way about 3/4 of the way back. There's a brewery called Vanish that is a wonderful, wonderful place. They had an Oktoberfest that I was eager to try. When we're at the record store, you know, and I don't think about how I come off. I do know that I'm often approached in businesses or events or that. People like ask me for directions. People ask me for tips. It bothers Carrie.
Do you get recognized?
No. It's not that. It's just that Carrie says, why?
I got recognized at the air show last week.
Did you really?
I got recognized right outside our building on Friday night.
Yeah. People are still listening to this show.
Really cool.
I mean, I will occasionally get recognized, but what bothers Carrie is if we're in line at some place and someone comes and says, is this the line for something? Or where's the best way to do this? Like, I guess I have an approachable demeanor.
No, I don't want this to be the mean show, but I'm just going to tell you.
Okay, go ahead.
You scream retail.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. I guess you're right.
The way he dresses, the way he is, like.
Like, I'm not going to be a jerk about it.
Do they approach you, genuine, like you're an employee?
No, not like an employee, just like someone who sort of knows the ropes.
Retail. Such a wonderful compliment.
Hey, but you know what? It's not the meanest thing he said today.
No. It's kindness. It's kindness Monday.
You're there to help.
So I didn't really think about that when we get to this record store and Twitch and I come bounding in. We're both middle-aged guys, that we might present ourselves as something more than just friends. And so we split up and we're looking at stuff.
But you guys are giddy together. You're together, like, you're friends and giddy.
Well, we're having a good, and also
which is nice.
I'm in my favorite environment, which is a record store. And this is a great one. So there's like used stuff and new stuff. And I say, hey, there's a nice lady behind the desk. I said, can we, I don't want to carry all my stuff around. Can I start a pile here and I'll just pay at the end? And she said, sure.
Can I ask a question about your giddiness with record stores?
Yeah.
Is your giddiness the pleasure of listening, which obviously is part of it?
Yeah.
Or is it finding, removing the vinyl from the jacket, looking at the quality, getting something that is pristine?
There is that if you buy something new, but there's also the thrill of the hunt. If you're like going through the dollar rack and you see a 45 that you've been looking for or something like that, and you score it, it's fun because then you can go home.
And do you analyze the quality, like looking at it?
Oh yeah, yeah. And I can pretty much visually grade a record, knowing that this is like new, or I can go home and give this like a cleaning and it's going
to
be okay.
Do they have a place where you can put it on and listen to it
But they don't let you play music there.
Okay,
but they're pretty. They're pretty reliable, the stuff they sell. I've been there a few times, and it's good. Like, we went, like, Mike, you would have loved this. We went into the new part of the showroom. They opened up, they probably doubled their floor space, and they've got a beautiful tube amp with an analog record player, and they're playing Stevie's Songs in the Key of Life.
Was it behind a velvet curtain with, like, saloon doors?
Yes, it was, exactly. And I came in with my cowboy boots and spurs. Chink. Chink.
So that's fun.
Yeah,
that's
fun. And it's a beautiful record store. So I'm in there and I say, can I put my stuff down? The first record I put down is Lady Gaga and Tony Bennett. And she looks at me and smiles and says, oh, that's brand new. I said, yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing it.
I've seen them live.
And so then I'm flipping through records and I'm near the checkout link. So the lady's talking to me still. She says, so where do you guys come from? And I said, oh, well, Mark is from Vienna.
Provincetown, Massachusetts.
And I'm from Leesburg. She says, oh, so you live separately. I said, yeah, we do. And then she says, okay.
Said, well, hold on a second. So she says to you what?
So you live separately.
Like, so she is, like if they... Yeah,
that's like saying, so do you live together?
Yeah, but she didn't say
I don't think you look at it. Did you immediately pick up on the fact that the question was a little off?
Well, I thought that she had...
misspoken.
Well, yeah, but I'm not going to make it awkward by saying, oh, we're not, you know,
we live together in the same house, in the same bed.
With a lion licking our toes. And so then she goes on, she says, well, how long have you known him? I said, oh, quite some time, thank you. And so that proceeds, and it's just the smallest of small talk. And then we're finishing up, and we each have our piles on the counter. And this is the stuff you can't make up. Mark is checking out, and I'm looking for one more thing. And she says, where's your friend? And Mark says, he's over in Show Tunes.
There you go.
Which is true.
Bingo.
Because when I go to a record store, One of my the
You're a show tunes
the,
guy.
The ones the things I look for are soundtracks and comedy records, because that's the right. stuff that a lot of time is out of print. But so we get out of there, and Mark said, "Well, that was sort of a situation, wasn't it?" I said, "Yes, it was."
Did you ask her where the candle shop was?
So we go back and we get to the brewery and we have a beer and we sit down, and it's outside seating with a band, and we're sharing.
It looked like fun.
It was. It's a great place, and the band, Mike, you would have loved the band, a 4-piece cover rock band.
Okay,
and we're sitting at a picnic table outside listening to them. And on the other side of the picnic table is a young couple. I'd say early 20s, an Indian couple. Celebrity the lady most resembles is Mindy Kaling. Okay. Very okay. lovely. And we're making small talk with them, and it's mm-hmm. nice, and having a beer or two. And they start playing the song Ring of Fire. The band does.
Mm-hmm.
The Johnny Cash song. Mm-hmm. And almost
finger
like
slipped.
Because, yes, I know. Almost like people are compelled to do this. Loudoun County white people start doing a line dance, something like the Electric Slide, but doing it to a Johnny Cash song, you know, an organized wedding reception style dance. And the couple turns to us and says, "Why are they doing this?" And I said, "I have to apologize for white people. It's what white people do."
Was it the cha-cha slide?
It was, yeah, it might have been the cha-cha slide.
Okay.
And they said, Is it important to do this?
Were they from
yeah,
India?
Were they asking about the culture?
There was accented English.
And they might have been visitors.
For 23 years.
But then they said,
why are those overweight people dancing, sliding across the dance floor? I don't understand what that is.
They said, is it traditional to do this dance to this song? I said, this song came out in 1956. It's absolutely wrong to do that dance to this. I said, why are they doing it? I said, because we're a horrible.
Were they doing a line dance?
Yes, they were. Okay. It's not right.
Yeah, I used to DJ for people that did that.
What about saying, no, they're just hammered? I don't know.
Because there were people up there that were not hammered.
Did you say I apologize for white people?
You don't have to apologize for white people.
I did. But you know what? It was done.
How drunk were you when you said that?
Not drunk. And they were lighthearted and they laughed about it. It was well right. received.
I'm sure.
But then they started the next song.
Did you look at them and say, they're not like us. We're gay.
No, we're getting to that. Don't read ahead.
Okay.
So the next song that comes, the band plays, is Jumping Jack Flash by the Rolling Stones.
All right.
And they do a line dance to that. And the people
that would annoy me. That would really annoy me.
The couple looks at me and says, "Do your people do this for every song?"
Do your people? That is funny.
Your people.
I said, only if they're mistaken. This is not right. This is not what should be happening. And then there's a little pause, and we're watching the line dancing, and they turn to us and they look at me and Mark and they say, "Will you two dance?" And I said,
"Oh, see, once again, the second,
yeah. I said, "Not
you're
today.
You're the caretaker.
Not today.
He's getting your beers. Yeah. Like he's taking care of you.
Yeah,
this is great.
I'm the silver fox.
Yeah,
the older bear.
Yeah,
the older bear. There you go.
You had a good day, though.
Yeah. And I looked at Mark and I said, "Ha ha, two for two."
That's a good friendship, a tight friendship.
That's now that's probably not the word I would have used, but anyway,
well, not anymore.
Let's move along. Oh, God. Oh, okay. You ruined it.
We'll
take a break. I always do. We'll come back with more fun and more thrills. Kind of a related subject when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. I've got a question for Oscar.
Okay.
We'll be right back, everybody. I feel ill.
Hey, everybody. It's Twitch in the kitchen again. Things are full swing in the TMOS kitchen, and we've got our hands full prepping the roasted nuts, candied fruit, and spices that go into the Rob Spiewak signature fruit cake. It's all hands on deck, so much so that we needed to add another set of hands to the kitchen staff. So we got the best set of hands in all of jazz music history. Legendary hot-headed drummer and band leader, Buddy Rich. Despite the fact that Buddy's been stone dead for 34 years, he's still a firecracker in the kitchen.
You think I'm the only one that's gonna work up there? Well, you motherfuckers out there and clam all over this joint.
What? There's no clams in fruitcake.
You gotta be kidding me.
That hot-headed temper hasn't cooled off one bit since Mr. Rich walked among the living.
What do you think this is, anyhow?
The TMOS Rob Spiewak signature fruitcakes are only available for a very limited time. And if you want to get your hands on one, you need to order now. Happy holidays from the TMOS kitchen.
Thank you, buddy.
There are no clams and fruitcake, Mike.
Oh, God, I just messed everything
What'd
up.
You do?
I dropped something.
Pick it up.
Oh,
Sorry, I'm having a very difficult day today. I'm having.
I've had a rare morning.
I am really. What the hell did I just do? God, wireless technology sometimes cannot be all that fantastic for me. But anywho, I'm moving along now. Now I'm fast forwarding.
You should be fine,
things.
Mike, because I know you had a great night's sleep in your Bowling Branch sheets.
It's fine.
Yes, I did. Thank you very much for
cueing
me.
They're so soft, Oscar.
They're very soft.
They're so soft. Very soft. Really soft. And they seem to get softer all the time.
If you dream of comfortable sheets at a price that will, thank you, keep you up all night, look no further than Bowl and Branch. Bowl and Branch makes the softest organic sheets on the market. Carla adores this bedding.
Oh,
she does.
Amazing.
More than anything we've ever owned, she loves it. They get better with every wash, but comfort isn't their only standard. They only use 100% sustainable raw materials, and as the first fair trade certified manufacturer of linen, you can feel as good about your Bowl and Branch sheets as they feel against your skin. Bowl and Branch, it's hard to describe, but that business that they share with us at the beginning of this commercial about the fact that when you wash them over and over again, they get better and better and better. I remember the first go-round with Bowl and Branch sheets where we were sleeping on, I don't know where the sheets were manufactured, Burlap, Massachusetts. I'm not sure where they were made.
I've been there.
And then they switched to the Bowl and Branch, and man, they're fantastic. They're a bestseller for a reason is the point I want to make. Buttery soft, lightweight, organic cotton, and a classic sateen weave for sheets that get softer over time, not too cool, the perfect year-round sheets for most sleepers. Bowl and Branch focuses on quality over quantity. No inflated thread counts here, because more isn't always better. I have Bowl and Branch sheets. I love them. I have them on the bed right now. In fact, we all do. And you can feel the difference as soon as you lay down. Comfort, quality, sustainability, all at a fair price. Experience the best sheets you've ever felt at BowlandBranch.com. Get 15% off your first set of sheets when you use promo code TMOS at checkout. That's Bowl and Branch, B-O-L-L, and Branch.com, promo code TMOS. Now, usually when we talk about Bowl and Branch, we usually get each of us gets a package from Bowl and Branch. And I think Rob took mine.
I didn't.
You got a link to order them.
Yeah.
I don't know if I did.
Did
I'm
you
not
order
sure.
them?
I will resend the link, Mike. I will resend
you will
it.
Really?
Of course,
will
yes.
You really?
Yeah.
That would be so nice.
Now
I really.
To Carla. She'll take care of it.
No, Carla doesn't care for my company.
Yes, she does. Stop that.
She thinks I'm a dork.
Oscar,
yes.
Sometimes something clicks with me, and the reason I was late coming in here today was because I saw when I'm watching DirecTV and I pause it for a long time. Now you get the ads, the little
promotion,
billboards that
yeah.
come
sure.
out, a little billboard, and I wrote it down. So one of these little billboards comes on for Bravo, mm-hmm. and I looked at it and I immediately said, Oscar, Oscar, Oscar. I have no idea. We haven't spoken about it before the show. You don't know. But there is a brand new program. I think it's brand new. Have you by any chance watched Winter House?
No.
On Bravo.
I haven't.
This show screams Oscar Santana.
It sounds intriguing.
Let me see.
It is. All right. The reason. All right.
Now I gotta look.
Okay, let me tell you what jumped off the page.
Okay.
I think per individual, this is maybe the hottest group of people that I've seen on one of these reality houses.
Oh, you mean
I did
like
a deeper dive?
Good looking people
stuck in a vacation house for 12.
Oh,
up
it's
in
like
the
a
mountains,
summer house, a winter
of,
house.
Yep, but it's a winter house.
Yes,
and it's in Stowe, Vermont. They're skiers. They're all dreamboats, and the women were particularly
gorgeous.
We're
all sleeping together.
And no, there's nobody like that. Pepperidge Farm remembers.
There's by the clock. The big grandfather clock.
Come right up here. Boy,
yeah,
she's got a nice butt.
It just came out on the 20th. Today's
okay.
the 20th. 5 days Grant, ago it came out.
Then you can thank me later
thank
because you.
You
are... Look, it's the same. I don't know if I'll watch it.
I watched Summer House so I can get into Winter House.
So Winter House, same format,
this
right?
This is what's great. It's young professionals that are wealthy. Enough to have, just like we would on here in the DMV.
They have means.
Well,
they have
you would
some
have
means.
Like a share of like a beach house in
Got
Dewey
it.
Beach.
Wow, they are good looking.
But
people.
Winter House,
wow.
aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. See, Rob, that's why I noticed them.
You see,
Summer
I watched
was set in the Hamptons.
Yeah, I watched a really bad reality show called Pat House, and that wasn't very good.
Full
at
of
all.
Divorce and tears.
Pat House.
You got a house.
Your friend Pat House. Look at how happy he is his friend.
No, I'm laughing because of Oscar.
That's Kidnap. The one time I met that guy. We were in Vegas, and he was like, we're walking along, and you know, when you walk with a big group of guys, sometimes people pair up. And I was like, so, what brings you here? He goes, I'm getting a terrible divorce.
What brought me great joy was the soft pitch to
Isn't
Oscar.
Isn't he reconnected with somebody now?
He is so happy right now. Yes.
Is he remarried?
Remarried and beautifully happy. So that's great.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's wonderful.
But 5 years ago, he was not so much.
No, different scene, baby.
Is that when we were out there and we went to that horrible show that you liked and I hate it?
Yeah, it was a love.
Yeah, everyone. I was the only one in the world that liked Love by the Beatles, and I'm the only one that liked.
I didn't say you were the only one. I said, isn't that when we went to that terrible show?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I describe it as that because I thought it was
a little boring.
Well, you were okay once I got you the drink.
Oh, yeah. The tumbler of Irish whiskey.
Yeah, it was. It was like a big gulp. A Jameson's big gulp. Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's basically people go to a house and stay for 12 days, and we see who hooks up and who doesn't.
Yeah,
right?
you let the hormones, you know, take charge, and then you're on television, and everyone's attractive. And
so if we have to draw a parallel between this and Summer House, which you've seen, how does Summer House compare to Below Deck?
Below Deck is this... Below Deck...
You have the service end of it. The fact that they are taking care of people.
It's so contrived.
It's fake. Yeah.
Below Deck
totally
is over
agree.
The top fake and for dummies.
Well, Carrie loves
Summer
it.
Okay.
Summer House is just
you can
throw them all in there and they don't have anything
happens.
To do.
And probably
right?
contrived as well, but not as like fake in your
so
face.
So what it is, it's done with a little more finesse.
Yeah.
And so, okay, I might look in simply because it's just that there's no more pretense to having real jobs. No. Like, for example, Vanderpump Rules, right? Yeah. When they're supposed to be serving, you're not going to successfully run a restaurant on any level with cameras following people that are arguing with each other. But if you throw people into a free vacation for 12 days that happen to be beautiful people and have means or maybe not, you know, who knows? There might be some posers in there.
But they're casting for... I think most people know this, but when you have people that you're putting together cast, they're not just saying, oh, this is a good script. Like, they're looking for people who are going to automatically be attracted to each other. Like, I like guys with, girls, like, I like guys with brown eyes and tall and like, dark hair and have to be 6 feet. They're going to find, like, three guys to battle over the one girl that, you know, they'll create the
strategy.
Drama.
Well, I don't know who I'm attracted to more in Winter House than Matter of Women.
I agree with you.
I'd have to ask Dave Chappelle about that.
Super
That's what
attractive.
I'd have to do.
There's a weird plot line in the first episode where one of the brown-eyed guys has to go to work for 3 hours on a Friday. It's horrible.
You brought it up again.
You monster.
You're the monster. That's Rob. Well, he's the monster today.
Pro tip to anyone that is lucky to work from home and you have coworkers that don't work from home. Don't tell them how happy you are.
There you go. That's brilliant. I like that. We'll come back with the dumpster right after this.
Show, you missed a lot.
Here we go, Marty. We're going to take you back to 1980.
There's an undeniable, irrefutable fact. They're a trashy fam.
Dog the Bounty Hunter was right.
You were selling your body.
I was, I was spinning the hits, Rob. I love a good log flume.
Thank you, Charlie Stuangstabala.
Rated PG.
The TMOS bonus show is your only chance to get that fifth hour of laughs, and it's sent to your device every Friday. Try a week, a month, or splurge for an entire year subscription. Your support keeps that comedy train chugging. Click the bonus show banner, get a subscription, and start laughing now. It's all at MikeOmaraShow.com.
Thank you, Twitch. Thank you, Jim Amato, for doing these promos. We really appreciate it. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Pendulum. The science is clear. A healthy gut microbiome with the good bacteria that help our bodies process food is key to a healthy lifestyle. But now we're learning about the connection between your gut microbiome health and type 2 diabetes. Pendulum Glucose Control is the first and only medical probiotic that's designed to manage A1C and blood glucose levels through the health of your microbiome. For those with type 2 diabetes, diet and exercise alone don't always manage it. The best approach emphasizes diet, exercise, and a healthy gut microbiome. This connection has been widely recognized by leading scientists studying diabetes, including the American Diabetes Association, the Mayo Clinic, Johns Hopkins, and others. Pendulum Glucose Control helps fill the gaps by providing the first and only probiotic designed to manage blood glucose and A1C levels. With With Pendulum, you can feel in control of your A1C levels, not the other way around. Take control of your glucose levels today. Try Pendulum Glucose Control for 90 days. If you're not satisfied with your levels, you'll get your money back. Visit PendulumLife.com to find out more. Use promo code TMOS for 20% off the first bottle of your membership. That's PendulumLife.com. PendulumLife.com, promo code TMOS, and we thank you, Pendulum. Now, let me see if I can bring this out here. I've got it. There we are. I just went somewhere else for a while.
Oh, there it is.
Opening it up.
I wonder who it could be,
Mike.
Here we go.
This is Lauren Green.
Oh,
and this looks big, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does look big.
He didn't need to show us that.
Well, Mike, he lives there. He loves to play show and tell.
Oh, my goodness gracious, dude.
So at the record store, every now and then there is a big release, and they had a lot of this spotlight. They were even giving away free lithographs from this. The Rolling Stones album, Tattoo You, is celebrating an anniversary, and they really have redone up a lot of re-releases. I like the album. It's not one of their best. I think they might have overdone it. I don't need the $400 box set. But one thing intrigued me. It shows old session work as they were working through the album, Tattoo You. Start Me Up, which you've heard at every NFL game you've ever been to, started out as a reggae song. And you know what? It's not that big of a leap. Check this out. Yeah, you start me up. Yeah, start me up, I never stop. Hey, you start me up. Wow.
So is this them working through
Working through it. And there's discs of like rehearsals building up to the song.
How do they take this? I really, this is where the genius comes in. How do they take this and turn it into what they got, which was absolutely one of the most engaging songs I've ever played on the radio?
I think my theory on that, and I actually had the same thought, is it had to happen when Keith found that opening riff.
I thought Keith, as soon as I heard it,
and also,
said that's what they need.
One of the things that my mom said once that has always hung in my head about the Rolling Stones is they use air better than any other band. And when he does that opening riff and lets it hang with no drums, no bass or anything, just the natural decay of the guitar, that's the magic.
They're in a studio just hanging out and playing the reggae version of it,
and
which
evolves.
Is how they probably got it originally, right?
Right.
They didn't write it,
they? Yeah, Mick and Keith wrote it.
So Mick and Keith wrote it as hey, we got to do a little reggae thing. And they said, hey, it's lying there.
Yeah, and they always flirt with that. They did that horrible song, Emotional Rescue, which sadly stayed a reggae song, and that sucks. Mm-hmm. But it is, it's funny when you can hear them in studio. They're really big for sitting in the studio and working stuff through.
Mm-hmm.
The Beatles didn't work like that. The Beatles were like, they brought it in and they did it as a rule.
Okay.
But they would work. I just thought that was fascinating. I thought that was really neat.
You know, when you hear that, and I normally don't go down this road with you because you do a lot of it, but I will tell you that's when, to me, being an artist and being someone who was a musician, how amazing would that be? It's one thing to go out and perform, and all of us bar band guys that have dabbled at it, we've done that. But to go into a studio and create sound that maybe you're going to release and see what sticks to the wall. I've always way in the back of my mind been fascinated with that process and would love to be involved.
And
in
also, to me, the fascinating thing about that, if you go back not that many years ago, there was a time when no one had ever heard the song Start Me Up.
True.
It's and
weird.
Now everyone knows it.
I can only tell young people this, all right? As a 62-year-old guy, I'm coming in here, I'm doing my job today. I now am thinking down a line of creativity that I've never thought about, and it just clicked with me that it would have been so much fun to be a record producer, to be someone those sounds. It's just a very, very
Mike,
cool.
Mike, we know what to think, like why this is opening up now in your life. You literally work for 3 hours a day. And now you can open up your mind to be creative.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to be creative on Fridays, if that's okay.
Yeah. Look at him. How many Jack and Diets do you think he had yesterday?
How many did he have this morning?
What are you talking about? I don't drink on school nights. Jesus.
All right. Did you guys see the video of the Marine vet that stopped the gas station robbery? On the surveillance camera.
No, I didn't. No.
It's a big guy. No, he's obviously, he's not in Marine shape anymore, but he definitely has the build. And two kids come in to hold up the gas station, and he stops it.
Good.
It's amazing. And here he is. His name is James Kilser. and he lives in Yuma, Arizona. And this is him recounting what happened when he saw the two young youngsters come in.
My first thought was that it was an awfully small barrel. The situation had to be dealt with, and there was really only one way to deal with it. Picked my target and said, that's the one I'm going for. And he took an extra step towards me. He was in my reach. I hit him in the gun before the keys hit the ground. That's how fast I moved. I'm a chubby guy, so I mean, I don't move that fast anymore. I've put on a couple pounds since the Marine Corps. May or may not have broke his nose because he was bleeding all over the place. I asked, how old are you? And he says, just 14. And yeah, you done screwed up. That boy needs some Jesus. He's going down the wrong path real quick.
And I'll tell you what. He moved pretty fast. This guy moved pretty fast.
And he's lucky he didn't get his... did the kids have guns?
Yeah, but he was able to disarm them. He said, well, it's an awfully small barrel, he said. I said, well, that's not what I'm thinking.
He's lucky if he's a father and all that.
But yeah. Anyway, it's a video worth seeking out. You should take a peek.
A hero.
And that's, you know, maybe some good comes out of it. Yeah, you know, like they send those boys to prison for life.
Oscar, no. I want to offer...
I go to juvie, you know that.
Juvie.
he'll get his Jesus in prison.
I want to offer my condolences that Gunther from Friends passed from cancer over the weekend. His name is James Michael Tyler.
Another very popular guy with his fellow actors.
Yes, 59 years old. But we close with a small obituary, Mike. You may not know him by name. Val Basoglio. He played the father in Saturday Night Fever. He had a lot of small roles. But how great is it? He's always associated with the fact that he's the one who hit John Travolta's hair. So we close with this. Rest in peace, Val Basaglio.
Talking about getting a job and hitting
me. All right, no hitting, no slapping at the dinner table. Okay, that's the rule.
One pork chop. One.
Hey, Frank. We just washed the hair. You know, I work on my hair a long time, and you hit it. He hits my hair.
Take care of his hair. I'm going to take a walk.
He hits my hair. Would you watch the hair? That's your digital dumpster. Have a great Monday, everybody.
Oh, my God. He hits my hair. Pony, are you going to be all right?
I'm sure I'll be fine.
Pony, it's not going to happen. Did you read between the lines? Unless it's an emergency.
I get that. I'm just... I like that. Sir. That's fun.
Jack Vale. Anyhow.
Don't worry, Pony. We're not going to hit your hair.
We got to get out of here. It's a weird show today.
Weird.
I missed everything. I didn't talk about Chappelle.
Dune.
Dune.
I didn't talk about Automation Nation. Mm. Didn't talk about my son's changes in sport preferences. You know, I did talk about the Giants not sucking, didn't I, briefly?
Yeah.
I won't do that tomorrow. We got to get out of here. For Rob and Oscar, this is Mike O'Mara saying have a great day. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Aloha.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
You look at the miserable globalists. You look at people like Bill Gates, and you look at people like Mark Zuckerberg and the rest of them. They are miserable slaves of Satan, and we pray for them and hope that the Holy Spirit can still touch their soul.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.